Today on Real Radio.
In reality, church, Peter is dying. His will is being broken. His strength. I'm Big Peter. After all, I saw the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. I cast out demons. I walked on water.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22. We're looking at a section that tells us of the events leading up to the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, including Peter's denial of his master. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Passing Through the Storm.
Jesus is saying regarding Judas that verse applies to, it's this. If you live a life of denial regarding me, then in the end, I must deny you because that's all you gave me, Jesus is saying. Are you with me?
Yes.
On the other hand, if you confess me before men, your life. If your life can be accounted, totaled, tallied up, that in the end, this man, this woman, this young man, this young girl loved God. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Here's the answer. Peter stumbled. Peter loved the Lord. He fell down. And what do you do with Christians who fall down? You shoot them. You shoot them and then you bury them. No. The Bible says you restore them. When a Christian falls down, they're repentful. You pick them up and you restore them. Peter had fallen down. Peter will get up soon. And we'll see how powerful that is in a moment from the very mouth of Jesus himself. Judas, on the other hand, his lifestyle was betrayal and denial. It's how he lived his life. What was the fruit of Judas's life? Answer, rotten. What was the fruit of Peter's life? Answer, wonderful. You see, but Jackie fell from time to time. Yes, it's true. Peter had foot and mouth disease all the time. Peter said things and it was just stupid. You could see the disciples cringe when Peter said some things. But then Peter said some things, and even Jesus himself said, Peter, you did not think of that one yourself. My Father gave you that one from above. Peter's an awesome guy. He gives us hope. Every one of us have in some way denied Jesus. In the grocery store when the Lord says, tell that guy about my love for him. And you go, Lord, I think I forgot some broccoli someplace. What am I doing? Denial. Oh, pick that person up and tell them about me. Lord, I'm late, God. Denial. When God says, you know what, don't do that. Don't laugh at that dirty joke at the company. Don't laugh at it. And you blend in because of fear and you Denial. Serious stuff. Number three, the danger of almost understanding his grace. Passing through the storm, we have to be careful that we do not almost understand his grace. Church, grab this and run with it. Don't misunderstand God. Don't almost understand grace. Listen. We all need the grace of God. It cost God everything to provide it. It's not cheap. Cost him everything. He has unlimited amounts of it. It's also unmerited. God's grace is unmerited. You can't earn it. You see, you can come up to the store window and look and go, wow, that's awesome. Wow, if I, boy, I'd love to have that. And if you think about it long enough, you'll start thinking about, well, I'll get five jobs, and I'll sell my kids, I'll mow the lawns. Boy, if I can just have that. And God's grace steps through the window and says, here you go. I want you to have that. I want you to know this. I want you to experience that. I want you to go there. And it's something that you and I could never get on our own. We can't buy it. We can't plea bargain for it. We can't negotiate. We can't barter for it. God's grace, unmerited. Look at verse 58. And after a little while, some time goes on. I'll suggest this. Time enough for Peter to leave, but he didn't. Another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." It intensifies. God's grace. This is the second warning to Peter. What's keeping him there? Why is he hanging out there? What does he expect to achieve? What's he thinking? I don't know. Just like if I'm off the track and falling into a hole, somebody might walk by and say, "Jack, what are you thinking? What were you thinking? What's wrong with you?" I don't know. Isn't it great being like a teenager? Dad goes, "What did you do that for?" "I don't know." And it's like, okay, all right. Try that when you're 35. "What'd you blow the company up for?" "I don't know." Doesn't fly. Won't work. God's grace. "Peter, what are you doing here?" God's not out of control. God's watching Peter. He's presiding over it all. And that's true in your life. What's going on in your life? What issues are pressing? What's the big deal? You got to do this. You got to have that in by 5 o'clock. You got to be there by Tuesday. What's the deal? The pressure, the push. Wait a minute. God's not in a hurry. God's not in some pressure cooker. God's grace will be there. And when sin happens, God's grace is applied all the more. Now listen carefully. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, "But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound." Now you need to hear this. Peter is being broken down by the circumstances of his life, and that's a good thing. In reality, church, Peter is dying. He's dying near that fire, and that's a very good thing. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about Peter, the old man, the earthly Peter, he's dying. His will is being broken. His strength, "I'm big Peter. After all, I saw the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. I cast out demons. I walked on water." Now Peter's being broken by the very work of God. God's at work. Peter's under construction. The question is, did Peter survive this field trip? The answer is yes, he does survive. And the beautiful thing is we read in our Bible, when we go a little bit to the right, we wind up coming to 1 and 2 Peter. When he was an old man, he wrote about his experiences found in your Bible. Peter didn't get bitter. Peter got better from the storm. From the storm. It worked out for Peter's good. We also learn this in verse 59, that God's grace is relentless. You know the old Puritans, the pilgrims? They used to call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. Because when the Holy Spirit was going after somebody, he wouldn't give up. The Holy Spirit would just drive, drive, drive. And what does that look like? Conviction. God would speak. When God is working on somebody's life, listen, are you here today and God's been working in your life? You don't understand what's going on. You're wondering what in the world's happening. But all the pressures, it's almost like a tube of toothpaste. And you squeeze that thing and you let go of it for a little bit. And it's got your fingerprints, or not your fingerprints, but you know what I mean? When you squeeze that tube, it's the indentation of your hand on that tube. There's two cool things going on. Number one, there's evidence of the tube being squeezed. Number two, the paste is out of the tube and it ain't going back in. You can try all you want to put toothpaste back in a tube. It's not going to work. The Holy Spirit begins to grab your life, and you might be here today and he's got a hold of you and he's squeezing you. You feel like there's nowhere to go. You might be sitting by a fire, hanging out with the world, warming yourself by the things of this world, and God's squeezing you. You're not happy. You're scared to death. You're being intimidated by others around you. You don't know what to do, but you know down deep inside, God's bigger. Even though there's this little girl looking at me with these fiery eyes, scaring me to death. And the tube is being squeezed and the paste is out, and that is what's happening to Peter. His old life is being squeezed out of him because the Lord is about to make him brand new. It's an amazing thing. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9, Paul the apostle cried out to God, and he said, "Oh God, I'm in trouble. I need your healing. I need your touch." And God spoke to Paul, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul goes on to write this incredible thing that you and I cannot write. Maybe some of you can. I don't know. I can't. He says, "Therefore, because of that, most gladly rather will I boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul the apostle began to lust after the difficulties of life because he knew that God would get him through the storm. And when God would bring him through the storm, Paul knew that he'd be stronger. Imagine, how many of us would sign up to get on a ship knowing, you know what, there's a huge hurricane out there, let's go. We do a lot of effort to stay out of that kind of stuff. The pilgrims, you know, when they were coming over, they were in the middle of the Atlantic and a horrible storm hit. And a rogue wave hit the Mayflower, snapped the mainmast. And the captain of the Mayflower, whom the pilgrims hired to bring them over, the captain says, "That's enough. I've never seen a storm like this. We're heading back. Back to England, back to Holland. We're heading back." And William Bradford grabbed him in a Christian way. William Bradford grabbed him and reminded him not only that he was being paid to get them to America, but that God had determined this trip. Going through the storm. Christian, today, please listen. Whatever storm you're in, God has determined this trip that you're on. You're going to make it. His grace is relentless and will not give up. His grace is also convicting. Verse 60, but Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was speaking, the Bible says the rooster crowed. Mark's parallel gospel account of this in Mark 14:71, it says that when he began to curse and swear, he said, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Church, that is the ultimate declaration. When Peter said what he said, in any other relationship, listen, any other relationship, that person who's being offended would cut it off. Imagine somebody saying to you who you have been very close with, they say to you in public, "I don't even know who that person is. I've never seen them in my life. I have nothing to do with them." Well, what Peter said was worse. He began to curse and he began to swear against Jesus. He literally called heaven as a witness that he didn't know who Jesus was. Point number four, and it leads us to the closing point, it's the danger of almost hiding sin. Please don't misunderstand this. The danger of almost hiding sin. See, on a casual read, you might say, "Well, wait a minute, don't we want to hide sin?" No. We don't want to hide sin. Now, here's where the world, the thems in this versus Peter. The world works very hard at deception, at manipulation, at fear tactics, to conceal, to commit fraud, to undermine the world. Think about, you know, you saw him in the news again the other day. What's his name? Bernie Madoff. The deception. Not only cost people billions of dollars, but it cost people their lives. When they found out that they were robbed by Bernie Madoff, some people put guns to their heads and killed themselves. Deception. Think of this. Sin cannot be silent. It never shuts up. So what do you mean by that? Well, you can't hide sin. You can almost, but you can't. And that's a good thing for us. Because if you could bury it and hide it. In fact, remember when Cain killed Abel? Didn't God say, Is that his? This is kind of eerie and cool at the same time. God says, hey, Cain, isn't that your brother's blood that's calling me from the earth? What have you done to him? Wow. You say, well, Jack, I got a sin in my past, and it's not a Christian, so, you know, it's coming to my mind right now since you mentioned that, but nobody knows about it. Hey, my friend, guess what? Nobody has to know about it. You know, and God knows, and that's driving you crazy, isn't it? Did you know that it's supposed to drive you crazy? It's going to hound you and drive you crazy until it is forgotten. Well, Jack, I'll never be able to forget it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about God forgetting it. See, you want God to forget it, but there's one way. There's only one way for God to forget it, and that is for you to take your sin and give it to Jesus. Jesus wraps it up in his blood, and the Father doesn't see it anymore. And you are set free, and you say, well, that's crazy. Well, that's because you don't have any faith in Christ. For those of us who've read the Bible, we go, yeah, uh-huh. Thy sin shall I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. But there's a catch. You got to bring it to him before he sends it away. You got to bring the sacrificial lamb, as it were, to him before he sends the scapegoat away. You bring to him in confession your sin, and Jesus has promised us to take it away. That's what he did at the cross. But the danger of almost hiding sin, and almost hiding sin is something that speaks to us. The Bible tells us this, that in Numbers 32:23, that we are to take note of this, for you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure of this, your sin will find you out. If you seek to hide your sin, the Bible says he who seeks to hide his sin and cover his sin shall not prosper. All of us have sinned. I hope you all understand that. Don't leave this building today thinking, well, who does he think he is? I'll tell you who I am. A rotten, stinking sinner saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, they may or may not admit it, but we're surrounded by a bunch of people just like that right here, right now. There go we, but for the grace of God. It's the grace of God that keeps us out of hell itself if we've come to him. But we don't want to hide the sin. Sin keeps popping up. Verse 61 teaches us that almost hidden sin exposes. This is precious, you guys. Stay tuned. Mark it. Oh, excuse me. Look at verse 61, the front end of it. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Circle the word turned. Circle the word looked. Circle the word then. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. This is awesome. Verse 61, Peter's not thinking about what Jesus had said hours earlier. He's not thinking. He's not thinking. Peter denies Jesus for the third time. The rooster crows. Ah! And while he's saying, I don't know who he is. While he's saying, in perfect chronological sequence, like an orchestra, I don't know what I've never seen that guy before. The rooster crows the third time. Peter gets done blabbing. He's looking at Jesus. He must be looking at Jesus' side or back. Jesus turns and looks at Peter in such a way that then Peter remembers. Why? Any CSI people in here? Why?
How come?
Why? Because in verse 61, sin is exposed. Jesus said to him, it says how he remembered how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That was said earlier on in Luke 22 at verse 31. You guys, hello, this is cool. Here's the reason why it's cool. Jesus tells Peter in advance, you're going to deny me three times. Before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. When it happens, A, The person who doesn't understand the heart of God sees Jesus turning and looking at Peter like this. You dumb Peter. You big goofball fisherman. You can just perish. He looks at him. Didn't I tell you? No, that didn't happen. Jesus looks at him, and the word is awesome. When Jesus turned and looked at Peter, the word that Peter remembers here is this word that means this, and you're going to want to jot it down. It means to look softly at, or to look gently upon, to look or to quietly call to the mind, to, with a quiet, small voice, bring to remembrance. Do you hear that now? You guys, when Peter saw Jesus looking at him, Peter remembered a few hours earlier that Jesus had said in a very calm, tender way, "You will deny me." With that communicates Peter's deliverance. This is beautiful stuff, man. Peter, in a few hours you're going to deny me, that you even know me. But remember, I've prayed for you that you strengthen your brethren when you return back to me. It's going to be okay with you. Oh, man. That's good news. Almost hidden sin releases because it's confessed. Verse 62, so Peter went out and wept bitterly. This word wept bitterly is powerful. Peter is not weeping because he got caught. Peter is weeping because he afflicted the heart of God. And that makes him a true believer. Are you now a Christian because you got caught? Have you noticed everybody who gets caught goes to jail, becomes a Christian for as long as they're in jail? And then after they're out of jail, they're back on the scene. You seen that? Let me ask you something. Are you a Christian? No matter what storms come into your life, you're going to gravitate toward God. You may not understand. I won't understand what's going on, but you're going to gravitate toward God. Judas, he's going to cry soon, but it's not because he got the opportunity or the motive to afflict the heart of God. Judas is going to be very bummed, and we'll prove it to you in the weeks ahead that Judas was very bummed that he got caught. And the two words for both these men for a change of heart is completely different. And that is true for every crowd. Where you are at with God, where your heart is with Him, really matters.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Passing Through the Storm. It's a look at part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 22, which chronicles events in the final hours of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, prior to his execution. Part of our teacher's verse by verse through this fascinating eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, once we finish this chapter, we'll have just two to go before reaching the end of Luke's gospel. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, you may be interested in what we're currently making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and it's really a terrific way to internalize this first century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to place your order. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.